He's a cutie. Yeah, gobble, gobble. Praise God. All right, come on, let's open up to Psalm 119. We're going to proceed and keep going with this series on simplifying our lives. In starting a new year out, it's really a good thing to address how busy our lives are and the need to simplify them. Psalm 119, our foundation is verse number 130, and so we'll go there in a moment. The title of the message today is Arranging Our Time. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, why isn't he preaching on the power of God or faith? Or, hey, this is what the Lord told me to preach on for the beginning of the year, and it's going to set some things in order and get you on a path in your study. Now, you need to be studying other things from the Word. That's true. But there are some things that stop you from studying. And that's what we're going to address. Some of the problem with not studying enough, not spending enough time with God, is the way that you handle your time throughout every day of the week. Well, that's a wonderful thing to tell us, Pastor Dan. Well, it's the truth. And it may not be, you know, one of these series that, you know, you're getting all this excitable stuff brought to you, and you're going, oh, wow. No, it's more like having to eat your spinach or whatever it was that you didn't really want to eat when you were a kid, eating your vegetables or eat that. It's good for you. Take your vitamins. This is something that's good for you and needs to be a daily thing that you do, okay? Now, we're talking about disciples. If a person is a disciple, that means they're disciplined. And so being disciplined means it needs to carry on throughout your life. It's not just for Sunday morning when you, kind of endure through a service, all right? That shouldn't be the way that you approach it. Your life is much, much more important than just 1 hour a week. God wants you doing some things throughout the week that will make life even better for you. Amen? Amen? Truth. So, Psalm 119, look at verse number 130. Again, the title of the message is Arranging Our Time. Verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words gives light, or giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Praise God. Last week we talked about understanding, and that in Hebrew, understanding meant to mentally organize or to arrange. Mental separation, to distinguish mentally or to arrange mentally. So if you're going to have understanding and you get understanding, what's happening is you're learning how to arrange facts that come in with other facts that you already have in your life. And that's very, very important to be able to arrange things that come into your life. If not, you'll be overwhelmed and overtaken. And sometimes, have you ever experienced this where you'll hear something, it's almost just too much revelation, almost too much that you can't process it all? Well, see, if I do that to you, I've done nothing except confuse you. So too much is not good. You can put so much out there, and people are going, after a little while, I'm full. No, you're going to eat some more. No, really, I'm full. I can't take any, you know. And then they shut their mouths and stop receiving and close it off because it's too much. Now, for all of us that teach the Word or minister the Word, that's a good a piece of advice to not put out too much. It's like we sat down one time at a dinner. You remember this? You know, I'm going to tell you, or tell the church. We sat down, and it wasn't my mother-in-law who did this to me, so we praise God for that. Although they do put out quite the spread whenever we go over there. But a man in the church who played guitar for us at the time was from Lebanon. Some of you remember Riyadh, right? Some of you do. Well, Riyadh's mom came from Lebanon, and he invited us over for a dinner, right? Or was it lunch? Boy, if that was lunch, it was like 3 weeks of lunch. So I think it was a dinner. It was kind of late. Anyway, she made all this food. I was like, are there like 25 more people coming? I'm serious. There was so much food. You're like, I could have just a little of every. I've never seen so much food for one. I mean, I have like at our Thanksgiving dinner when we got food, but this was like for two people. And that dear woman wouldn't take no for an answer. And she didn't speak English. She just, here. And it wasn't here, it was something else. Like, And Riyadh told me what she's saying. I'm like, tell her, I am stuffed to the gills. I can't eat anymore. My stomach's about that big, you know? I mean, serious. And I got to the point, I was just like, I can't, you know. Finally, when she wasn't looking, you know, stuff it in your pocket or whatever. But I didn't really do that, but I thought about it. And the food was really good, and, you know, I could tell what she was thinking. You're too skinny, you know. And at that time, I was a lot thinner, actually. You know, you're too skinny. You need to eat more. In fact, I think she said that in Lebanese or Arabic to Riyadh, and he's laughing. And I believe that's how it came out, something like he needs to eat more. So, okay. But when you put too much out, it can backfire on you. Amen? Okay. So gaining understanding is to be able to mentally organize. That's what the word understanding in Hebrew translates, to mentally distinguish, mentally organize, or to mentally arrange. Are you getting understanding? Only when you can arrange it in an order that it actually will work in your life. Because if all you have is a head pack full of a bunch of numbers, or I say numbers, in this case, Bible verses, but you don't know how to appropriate those things. I mentioned to you there are people that have large numbers of chapters and even books of the Bible committed to memory, and they're not even saved. There are people that don't even believe in Jesus Christ that can recite things out of the Old Testament and New alike, and it's not working for them. So with all that said, we need to get understanding. That's what this is saying here. The entrance of the word will bring light, and it gives this ability for us to mentally organize only if your life is uncomplicated. That's the latter part of that verse. So if our lives are too complicated, you start getting word and you don't know how to assimilate it into your life, and then you're not even knowing how to release your faith. Yeah, it's one thing to know that Jesus heals. It's another thing to be able to appropriate that and have the power of God manifest in you to bring healing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's true. So the word gives us an ability to mentally organize or arrange things. However, Proverbs 3, verse number 5, tells us to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding, same Hebrew word, on our own ability to organize and with our own thoughts being able to try to get this all into order. No. Who are we supposed to lean on? You're supposed to lean on Isaiah 11, verse number 2, speaks of the spirit of understanding. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. He will show you he is the best organizer, the best arranger of whatever is going on in your life. He can arrange it and organize it better than anybody. So ask him. Amen? Amen. That's important, because there's not a one of us in here that don't get really busy at times. And our week gets all jumbled. And before you know it, we're over here trying to do this and do that. And we're ignoring or neglecting some things that really need to be in our lives on a daily basis. So today we're going to talk about using our time effectively. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. So we have to simplify things in our lives. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, that's something to start the year off with, to get to that place where we are taking time to simplify. In other words, stuff that's too complicated in your life, things that are taking up way too much of your time, you find yourself having to deal with this all the time, or you're over dealing with this, and you're never having time for the things of God in your life, the priorities are out of line. Amen. Now that's something only you can address. I cannot do that for you. I mean, I wish I could, but then it would all be on me, wouldn't it? And then, so if your priorities were out of whack, it would be the pastor's fault that everybody's priorities are messed up. I don't want that responsibility. I can't do it. Only you can get your priorities in the order that the Lord desires. So in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. That's why I brought my phone up here. I know Shanda has an Amplified. Yeah, I know. I thought I'd have it on my phone today. Look real like 2020. Yeah. Anyway, I don't have a problem with guys using their iPads. Dennis Burke, every time he comes, uses his iPad. Bob Yandian used his iPad when he preached here and a few different times. Guys do it. It's okay. Whatever. I don't do it. That's not me. But I'm doing this today, okay? So Ephesians 5, look at verse number 15. It reads this way. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you see that? So what that's saying to me is if I don't redeem the time, if you and I don't redeem our time, then our days, if we're not redeeming our time, then our days will be filled with the enemy's purpose for our life. The days are evil. The thief comes to do three things. What does he come to do? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay. So his purpose is to be able to do that in my life in some fashion or some way. And so if I'm not redeeming the time, guess who is the greatest time waster or one who will promote you wasting your time? It's the enemy. He'll find ways for you to waste time. And then he'll use people, even well-meaning people, to find ways to waste your time. And before you know it, your time, your day, is half gone, and you've done zippo. So you haven't done anything. I meant to get this done. Yeah, but so-and-so had a need. The devil can keep sending people with little issues and things going on, and if you don't have your time arranged properly, you can just be led by the enemy and not even know it. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a nice thought, but it's really the truth. If all he has to do is stir up a little something over here to get you distracted, and then once that's you squash that little situation, and then another one comes up over here, I mean, he could lead pastors around by the nose doing that. You remember the issue back in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42 with Martha and Mary? We talked about it. Martha was cumbered about much serving, and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha gets critical over Mary and gets upset and reads Jesus or speaks to Jesus and wants to read the riot act to Mary regarding her laziness. But the fact is, Mary did the thing that was more important and really better than what Martha was doing. Now, is it not a fact that if you're going to have people over, somebody needs to get the food ready? Right? But it's just a matter of she was putting that ahead of time with Jesus, and the minute she did that, she started getting critical towards somebody who was doing the other. And that's what happened with her. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the thing that's good, and it's not going to be taken from her. I suspect that had Martha spent some time at the Lord's feet, she could have had things ordered aright where after Jesus was done teaching, everybody could have kicked in and they got that food ready, lickety split. But it was easier for her and probably appeased her flesh more to do that so she'd have something to complain about later on. Now, I'm just, you know, you ever been there? I'm going to do this, boy. You know, and I know I probably ought to go and do the other, but I'm going to do this so that I can ram that up their nose later on and let them know that I don't appreciate them not helping. You do something and you get this complex about you and, oh, poor me, I had to do it all myself. Well, why didn't you ask somebody to help you do it then? We're going to talk about delegation in a little bit, but I know you guys are really excited about this, but it's okay. It's good stuff. Amen, brother. Praise God. Let me read to you Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16 out of the Amplified. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless." Who wants to be considered witless? "But as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil." Wow. You need to give attention to redeeming the time. This is something that people don't like to talk about, but you really need to give attention to it. Remember I said to you that there were three areas in our lives that we need to address, and every one of us will. It's regarding the people that we know, the relationships that we have. How are we managing those relationships? Some people come into your life and will give a lot into your life, and others come into your life and take a lot out of your life. But regardless, we have relationship issues with people, and we need to manage those relationships. Know which person that you can sit down and fellowship with and come out of it being blessed, and others that you'll come out of it being drained. You know, I mean, it's one thing if somebody comes to me and has a problem and I'm giving them counsel, and I'll only do that for a period of time as well, mind you. Because at some point, counseling sessions turn into cry sessions. And all they want to do is tell me all their problems, and they don't really want to do what I'm telling them anyway. And after I figure that out, it doesn't take long. That's it. Do what I'm saying here. This is the word. This is what you asked for, what I as a minister would say regarding this situation. Well, here's what you should address first. And then come back the next week. Well, did you address it? Well, no. Well, okay. Until you address it, get out of here. Now, you don't want to say it that way. But it's like if you're just here to cry on my shoulder all the time, then I don't want to hear it. Is that harsh? Thank you. Appreciate that. Because I don't mean it harsh. But the enemy can send people to you, well-meaning people, that will take up large portions of your day, hours and hours, and get you into a place where you're not addressing the things that are more needful. That's what happened with Martha. So we all need to be sensitive to this. The devil will consistently try to steal your time. If he does that, then he's controlling your day. Well, amen anyway. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it goes on in the King James. It says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but," what? "Understanding," "what the will of the Lord is." Verse 17 in the Amplified says, "Therefore do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is." Redeeming the time. Buy it up. If you don't, the enemy will steal it from you. If you don't, the enemy will steal it from you. And one of the things that we need to address, each of us, every day, is how I'm going to manage my time. Now, today, it's maybe a little different. For you, I know what I have to do on Sundays. And I approach Sunday, you know, I get up early enough and spend some time with the Lord, not with my sermon material. I spend time with the Lord in other areas of the Word. Then I go into my sermon stuff. Okay? That's why I do it every week. Been doing it for a lot of years. And then come and minister the Word. And then go and have fellowship, whatever. And my day is kind of set that way. And then kick back and relax and get the Word of the Lord for the next time we meet. And it's a cycle I do all the time. I'm always writing sermons. I'm always thinking about what's next. I'm always going in that pattern. And so my days, and I don't share this with a lot. In fact, I said to Ann the other day, I said, you know, when you're over at your office, I mean, I'm got word going in my ears. I'm listening. I'll pray. I seek the face of the Lord. Lord will show me something. I'll do it at the office, at the house, or I'll come out here and sit and get what I need from the Lord. But I have to be very careful to stick to my guns when I start down a road of study. Because I guarantee you, I'll start that, and it could be on my day off when it's supposed to be my day off, and I'll be interrupted somehow. Now listen to me and hear me very carefully. If you have an emergency, I need to know it, okay? But if the emergency is you stubbed your toe, I'm sorry. You get what I'm saying. But if it's a serious situation, please do not hesitate to get word to me, okay? But managing our time is something that we need to address. Now, the price that you have to pay, we talked about in order to redeem the time, that you're going to have to do some things, and meditate is one of them. Now, write this down because you're going to need to know it because we're going to go into it. In order to redeem the time, we are going to have to meditate, then mentally distinguish and organize or arrange the facts and resources of our lives. Every day you need to think about your day. Do you do that? Do you think about your day? I know this sounds terribly practical, but it's something that people that are undisciplined don't do. But if you'll sit down and address, what am I going to do today? What are my goals that I can accomplish? It really helps to write some things down. I don't mind telling you that. And I learned that from my wife. She is a master list maker. Is that right? Come on, just agree because you know it's right. Remember when we were getting ready, when we were first married, we were getting ready to go on a vacation one time. We were going to go to San Antonio. Now, honey? Okay. Anyway. You know, guys, when we get ready to go, come on, guys, look at me now. You know what I'm saying? We get ready to go. Okay, you need a couple changes of underwear, and you need this, you need that, you need your shave kit and that, and boom, go. I think our entire medicine cabinet went with us. Honey, you had, and it's a good thing because, but we didn't really need all that stuff. But there was like a page with two long columns of stuff, flip it over, two more long columns. I'm like, dear Lord, we can't fit all that stuff in the car. She is thorough, and I appreciate that. I'm not saying this to come down on Ann because Ann and I are in agreement, but we have come into a place of agreement of shortening the list a little bit, you know. But she thinks of things I don't think of, and there have been a time or two we've been out away, and it's like, oh, I'm glad you thought of that. Now, ladies, come on, be honest. If you get ready to go on a vacation, don't you many times take more stuff with you than you really need to take? Am I speaking out of turn? Oh, Sarah, bless your heart. Angie C. Come on, Joan. I know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Oh, see, she's learned. You need to talk to her. It's true. And praise God for organized women. We appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. Don't grumble about it, guys. So that's that organization thing. But so we have to learn to organize and arrange the facts and resources of our life. This is something we need to do in order to redeem time. Meditate. Ask the Lord, what is really important that I get done today? The price you have to pay to redeem the time is time spent meditating. You mean I have to spend time to redeem the time? How does that work? The time that you spend before the Lord will show you how to effectively organize your day. You get that? You spend time before the Lord, he'll show you. He's the master organizer. He's the spirit of understanding, of showing you how to mentally arrange things and prioritize what's most important in your day. Martha didn't do that. Mary put Jesus first, and Jesus himself said she's the one who was blessed for doing that. So we get this idea, I got this to do, this to do, this to do, this to do, this to do. And then you set out on that, but it's funny, it's not funny, it's actually tragic, but that people put their time with the Lord and they brush it off. That's normally the one that gets kicked off to the side. Oh, I'll spend 2 minutes. I'll read a promise out of the promise box. Don't do that. Get into the Word. Spend some time before the Lord. Quiet yourself down. Have some daily time that you sit. I can't. I'm so tired. I'm tired too. I was tired this morning. Didn't even want to get up, tell you the truth. But you have to. You're the pastor. Yeah, that's right. That's true. But so I did anyway. Got up, went before the Lord, sat down, spent some time with him. It's just something that you do. You brush your teeth every day, don't you? You put on deodorant every day, don't you? You shower, shave. You do all these things every day. Well, before all of that, get the priority in place. I'm going to spend some time with God. Because he will show you things to come. He will give you understanding how to mentally organize and arrange the day. He's great at doing that, but he won't barge in your life if you don't give place to him. So there are two, it's a two-part process for managing your time. First is the planning part, and then there's the implementation part. Now, I know this seems boring, and I'm apologetic for that. However, it's something we need to address. Because some of you are master time wasters. I didn't name you. I said some of you. And that's you know, just taking a shot. That, you know. But I know that if I sit around and I can come up with all sorts of things to do instead of doing the thing I need to do. You guys look so innocent. Not me, Pastor Dan. I am disciplined. And then you pull your hand out of your pocket. That doesn't work before God, just so you know. Some of you don't know what that is. If you say something, you have your fingers crossed. You can lie and it doesn't count. That's crazy. How is the stupid things we came up with as kids? Well, and then you go, let me see your hand. Whoa. You're lying. Don't lie. Amen. Every one of us deal with this time business. We do. It's human nature, and the devil knows that, and he knows that if he can get you distracted. Some of you guys get distracted during the service, and you're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch, or you're thinking about what you have to do later on today, or I can't wait to go here. We're going to go here on vacation next week. Oh, listen to the Word. You know what I'm saying? And then something happens, and you got to go to the bathroom, and you get distracted. I understand all that stuff, but it's a discipline thing. So let's go on. I'm going to give you quickly three factors or contributors to successful planning. So you have a natural thing to do in planning this out and implementing it. There's a natural thing that you have to do, and God will add the super to your natural to bring it about. This is the problem. The supernatural, and this isn't a problem, but the problem with people is they try things in the natural and they don't get God involved in planning their day, and then they get overwhelmed. When you let the Lord get involved in planning your day, he'll show you exactly what is first and needs to be dealt with first. Okay? So the supernatural will carry you over any obstacle that the natural is not sufficient to meet. He expects you to do your part in the natural. The supernatural will carry you over any obstacle the natural is not sufficient to meet. Do you hear me? That's important to realize that, because we need the supernatural in our lives. This is not just a natural exercise of discipline. And I'm going to do this, 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 and this. That will be involved, but you need God involved in that planning process. And you're going to need him involved in the implementation process. All right, quickly. Number one, meditation. Meditating means to mentally image, to ponder and consider, to make mental pictures. You hear me? Before you set out on your day, you need to get quiet. That's what getting quiet is about. Let the Lord show you what he wants you to do that day and get a picture of how the day is to progress. I don't mean that I'm going to be over here and I'm going to be wearing this clothing suit and I'm going to do this. No, I don't mean that. I'm talking about get a picture of the order of things that he wants for you to do today or tomorrow. Okay? So meditate means to mentally image, to ponder or consider and consider, to create mental pictures. Have you ever seen these drones that they're using these days? And some of these drones are like big, you know, like here to the wall big. And they carry weaponry, right? And they're flying them. And so all that time spent on the Game Boy is coming into play. Game Boy, is that what it would be? You know, the little joystick. These kids that, you know, Atari. So thank you. Thank you. See, I don't know. But, okay. Junior, get out of that room, and I have to save the princess. You know, she's... I'm destroying the enemy alien ships. I'm destroying... Get out of there and go outside and do something. But now these things are starting to come into play, and some of these guys that operate these big drones are really good, and those were the guys that were saving the universe back there. But now here's the problem. They're looking at a screen using a joystick, and that drone might be 200 miles away. And now they're going in to strike, you know, they're sending in drones instead of troops. What happens if that screen is all fuzzy? Well, let's just fly it anyway. What's going to happen if he flies that drone and can't see on the screen where he's going? Come on, simple, right? He's going to run into something, right? He could shoot. I mean, these things have actual weaponry on them. And he could shoot and kill his own people, you know. So they have to clearly see what's going on. Why do you set out on a day and set out into the day and not get a clear picture of what you're supposed to do that day? It's pretty foolish, isn't it? Amen. Well, me too. I know. It's exactly right. You need to walk with purpose. Need to walk with purpose. That's what we just read there. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Redeem the time. Spend some time. Get the mind of God, the mind of Christ on your day. Number two, selectivity. Selectivity. Simple, right? It's a daily thing that you do, that you let the Lord show you the priorities and what's most important. Well, I need to do this, this. No. What's most important, Lord? What do you want me to accomplish today? Please, just ask the Lord those things and spend some time with him, and you'll be amazed at how he'll start to bring things to you and remind you of things that he wants done. Now, here, I'm going to read you Philippians chapter 1. In fact, you're right there in Ephesians. Turn over or flip over to Philippians. Flip over. Chapter 1, verse number 10. Philippians 1, verse 10. We're just about there. So hold on. We'll be done momentarily. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You see that? That you may approve things that are excellent. This was a prayer Paul had for the Philippian church. Here's what it reads in the Amplified. So that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, and that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. What's he saying? He wants you to be able to sense and learn and know what's vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value. In other words, selectivity in your life. I have this to do, this to do, this. What is the most important thing I get done today? What is it? You know, when you go to the office, Margaret, I ask Ann a lot of times, what do you have to do today? Well, and it's amazing how she can rattle it off. You too? Yeah. So you know why. Because you're planning what you have to do the next day, right? Right? Works that way. How many of y'all can agree with that? Now, when you knew you had things to do, you had appointments, people to see, people that were coming in that you had to take care of and all that. Your day goes like that, right? Still does. Still does, amen. You know, so what's tomorrow to bring? Get the mind of the Lord on it. Get down and get before him. And I'll tell you, you need to be selective regarding things that are in your life. There are a lot of good things that you could be doing, but what is the most important? Number three is delegation. And under that, you could do the whole priority list thing. The Lord, it needs to be first, okay? And then after that, your spouse, then your children, and then comes your job. Oh, that's easy to say, my job. No, your job shouldn't be number one. Your job should be after. Don't put your job ahead of your kids and ahead of your spouse. That's a sure way for destruction. Don't do that. Amen. Do not sacrifice your family on the altar of success for a little more money. Who wants a little more money? And the child's going, he never has time for me. The wife is going, he's always gone. I got a lot of nice things, but I'd rather have him than all the nice things. Ooh. Did that sting? Ooh. Ouch. It can be, you know, so those are things that, again, y'all have to address in your own lives. Number three, the last one here. Oh, and by the way, after the job comes recreation. And God wants you to have some recreation in your life. You know that? It's okay to have some playtime. Have a fishing rod. Have a hunting rifle if you want to do that. Don't come to my house and try to shoot my deer. You cannot do that. Where's Forrest? Is he doing security? Yeah. Forrest, you can't shoot my deer. He said, just think how many steaks could feed God's people off those. You saw that? Forrest, we're not shooting those deer. We had a whole herd came in our backyard the other day. And I videoed them, but I couldn't go to the other window because it would have scared them off. So I had to shoot, and we had this little whirly-twirly in front to keep the doves. So I'm shooting that whirly-twirly right there in the middle of the... But that thing moves, and the doves go the other way. We were having doves hit that window, and I was having to perform funeral services day after day after day. And I'm like, and we got to do something. One of these times, one of those turkeys... You know, we got 30 turkeys or more out in our backyard. One of those decides to fly. He's coming in the house and we're going to have a problem. So we put that thing up and we had about 15 deer just walked right across our backyard and just slowly. And I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. They're just all coming. And they kept coming. And then a couple of them went up on the court and are out there. I'm like, get off the court, you guys. Go around and go eat the corn over there. It was cute. Anyway, I have no idea why I got off on that. But anyway, number three is delegation. Quickly, delegation. Delegation is this. Assigning responsibility for something that is potentially time-consuming, and you assign it to someone else. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You know, and husbands and wives need to help each other in this. You know, Ann will say to me, could you stop and get lunch? Could you stop and do this? Stop and get this, or what have you. When I'm out here, she's there, and would you take care of this or go, you know, pay that bill? And I'll say to her, hey, the other day I had a thing. I said, would you go call up that my email and print something for me because I don't have a printer here for that. And I needed it for the service yesterday. And so we do things for each other. You see, and it's not like using each other. It's like a well-oiled machine that functions, and she makes up areas I can't do, and I do that for her, and we do it together and all that. Everybody has somebody they can delegate to in some way, shape, or form. Amen? Delegation. You remember in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, and the following verses, how Jethro went to Moses. Jethro was his father-in-law, and said to Moses, the thing you're doing is not good. You're going to wear out. So he began to delegate off authority to counsel the people. Moses is trying to counsel the nation of Israel by himself. That's not smart. I don't care who you are. You can't do it. So he had to delegate off. And that's what we need to be ready to do. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says to submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God. It's really very, very important that we recognize the role of delegation regarding our daily stuff. The Lord may say, that's fine, I want that done, but you could give that to so-and-so to do. That happens here in the church. Go ahead, stand to your feet. That happens in the church where something needs to be done. I mean, you know, I can't do everything. Pastor John can't do everything. David Fry can't. Marvin can't. But together we can get things done. You handle this. You handle that. You take care of this. And part of the problem is a lot of times people think that the pastor, and it's this way in a lot of churches, the pastor should do everything. And that's the quickest route to burnout. The route to burnout. We don't want to go down that route, do we? Amen. But in our personal lives, you say you have a lot to do. Well, maybe it's something you could ask one of the kids to do. Huh? Mama asked me to do stuff. But a lot of the time, Mama's 94, of course, but you know, some of you need to delegate things off to the kids. Okay. You know, you remember when you were a kid? Did you get off sitting on the couch playing on your phone? It was a paper cup with a string stretched to the other room. That's how we communicated. So now a parent's sitting back letting their kids just become numb. And numb rhymes with another word. If you're not careful, that's what you'll become, sitting around doing that stuff every day. Yeah, dumb. Numb-dumb. Dumb-numb. So delegate. It's not wrong for kids in 2020 to have chores. Amen. Can I hear an amen? And you know what? That's an honorable thing to do. And if you're not making your children do stuff and get them on a regimen to be active that way, you will be raising a hellion because they'll expect everybody to do everything for them when they get older. It's the truth, isn't it? Now do this for me. You know what really bugs me? You guys just want to know, I'll be real. Well, I'm driving down the road, and it's kind of a reflection of the attitude these days out there. You're going down a road, the speed limit's 45 miles an hour, and you see two guys on bikes, and they're riding two abreast down the middle of the road. Do you know, I talked to a good friend of mine here in Stillwater who was a policeman, and I said, is that against the law? He said, absolutely. It's like that entitlement thing. You can't. I have just as much right on this road. You know, that's a pretty stupid approach to take, tell you the truth, when there are trucks and cars and people running around with their phones not looking and you're riding down the middle of the road on your bicycle. You're going to be in the ditch. Or it's not smart. And that just bothers me that there's such an obstinance, like, I dare you to try to make me move. Like, wow, there are some people around that will do that. I'm not one. It irritates me. You know, come on. Have some respect. Wise up. The policeman, he told me, he said they need to be, you know, get as far to the right as possible. I was driving down one of the main thoroughfares the other day, and there were three of them riding three abreast in the lane and wouldn't move over. Now, how many of you guys, that irritates you when somebody... Okay, let's just be honest. Oh, you holy ones are not getting irritated, I know. You say, I don't drive, I sit in the back seat and watch. Well, that's understandable. But that's frustrating to me that there's that kind of disrespect. I was not raised that way. Okay, so now we got that out of the way. Amen. Bow your head with me, let's pray. Father, we thank... I don't know what that had to do with anything, but Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We give you glory and honor for the word. And Father, we want to arrange our days. Let you show us, lead us, guide us, be the supernatural arranger of our days. We recognize the fact we need to spend more time before you and with you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you and bless you for that today. In the name of Jesus. for leading and guiding us. In Jesus' name, come on. Can you say amen? Amen.